Does it seem like your cable TV and even your radio dial is getting crowded with more and more stations each year? But apart from this one that you're listening to now, how many of them really give you an accurate view of the world? Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, European media colleagues explain how media operates and what they expect from it in Berlin and Belfast. And we'll have some fun exploring the coffee cultures of Europe as well. First, you only have to say the words, the Greek Isles, and you might have visions of sun-bleached houses, shoulder to shoulder against a fragrant hillside, with a mesmerizing view of a glittering sea. When you consider that there are more than 200 Greek Isles with people living on them, and more than 1,000 altogether in the Aegean and Ionian seas, you'll soon realize your Greek island fantasy requires a little planning to make sure you match up your expectations with what you'll find. Here to help us prepare for adventures in the Greek Isles are two experts who've been introducing travelers to the delights of Greece for years now. Anastasia Gaitanou is based in Thessaloniki. And while David Willett may have an Australian accent, his heart is firmly planted in Greece, where he's long led tours and written guidebooks. David and Anastasia, thanks for being here.
Good to be here, Rick.
Anastasia, when you think of an American going to Greece, of course they're going to go to Athens, and then they want to get a dose of the islands. But always, like Americans, we want to see so many things, but we don't have enough time. How do you sort through all the islands? What are your options? Where would you recommend?
Well, I think that the easiest way is to take a ferry, either from the port of Piraeus, which is the main port of Athens, or the port of Rafina, that's the port at the east coast, outside of Athens, depending on which island you want to go. Mm-hmm. Of course, the two major islands all people want to go are Mykonos and Santorini, and there is a reason why. I mean, they're beautiful. But there is so much more to see.
And most Americans going on a cruise ship, those are the two islands they stop, Mykonos and Santorini. Consequently, those islands are really built up for tourism. David Willett, when you're thinking about the Greek islands, as just a primer, what are the different groups of the islands?
Well, there's a number of island chains, and each are quite separate and have a character of their own. Undoubtedly, the most famous are the Cyclades, the Cyclades, of which Mykonos and Santorini are the best known. But every island has its own feel, and each island group is quite different too.
An island is not just another island.
An island is not just another island. Every island has its own culture, traditions, similar architecture within groups, but otherwise there's no two islands are the same.
So if you, I mean, there's probably hundreds of islands. If you were just going to choose three islands and choose them for their diversity, you wanted three distinct islands from different parts of Greece, what three islands might we consider?
I would start with Naxos, which is my favorite of the Cyclades because it has a bit of everything. If you like beaches, and I don't like beaches, Naxos, I think, has some of the best in the Cyclades. It also has history going way back to Mycenaean times. There's, I think, 1,500 BC to be found there. There's a wonderful Venetian castle. There's traditional Cycladic architecture. It has everything, and it is a real community. It also has excellent food. Naxos cheese is some of the best you'll find in Greece, and Naxos is also famous for its lamb, highly prized at Easter time.
Sounds like a vacation in itself right there. What's another island?
Another favorite is Rhodes, or Rhodos. And I love Rhodos because of the magnificent old walled town built by the Knights of St. John.
So this is a crusader city.
It's a crusader city, yes, or an offshoot of the Crusades.
So this is like medieval as can be. If you have this quintessential idea of a European medieval walled city or something, this might be it.
Rhodes fits the bill just perfectly.
Beautifully. And it's very close to Turkey, isn't it?
You can get to Turkey quite easily from there. You get to either Fethiye or to Marmara.
So there's ferry boats going from Rhodes to Turkey.
Yes.
All right, so there's two islands, Naxos and Rhodes.
The other one I would add, well, some people will debate whether it's actually an island or not, Crete. It is an island, but it's big enough to be, you know, a separate country.
Island,
separate country. Well, that's, of course, where the Minoan civilization rose. So it's got fabulous ancient sites, some good beaches, wonderful Venetian castles, fortifications, and a very distinct culture of its own. People still very proud of their traditions.
In Crete. So, yeah, these Cretans.
Cretans,
are they
yes.
Cretans? Is that where this word comes from?
I think we're confusing Cretan, old French, and someone from Crete who is...
Thank goodness. Yeah, so Cretans like that are not populating the island of
people
Crete.
People will say very proudly, I am Cretan, so you mustn't laugh.
Okay, mustn't laugh. I'm sorry. You are Cretan. Very good. Hey, in Crete, we've got what I find... one of the most memorable hikes anywhere in Europe, the Gorge of Samaria. Talk about that.
Well, the Samaria Gorge is the most famous. The whole southern coastline or the west southwestern coastline has lots of gorges. Mm. And there's others that I think are much nicer because really the Samaria Gorge these days, it's like queuing up to go through the Uffizi Museum.
I imagine it's quite touristy, isn't it? Yeah. It's convenient because you ride a bus to the very top and then you spend all day walking downhill to get to this lovely beach.
Yes.
And from there you can catch a boat around and catch a bus then back to your starting point. But that's the classic sort of obvious one that all the tourists go to. What would be an alternative to the Samaria Gorge that might be nicer?
There are others which are just to the east of there. I think it's the Imbros Gorge, which is also very nice, but far less visited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is also the Gorge of the Dead.
Yes.
We call it like that.
It's not.
Yes, it's at Zagros.
On Crete, the Gorge of the Dead.
Yeah, that's how they call it, of the dead men.
What would that hike be like then, Anastasia?
It's on about 2 hours mm-hmm. hike. It's a beautiful gorge.
Is it downhill going down to the...
It's downhill, yes.
So you start at the top, you take a road to the top of the thing.
You start at the top,
and then you hike down this gorge all the way to the south coast.
Mm-hmm, that's true. And then at the end of the gorge, and very close, is that beautiful site of the ancient palace of Zagros, what's left of it. But it's really
that's a nice reward for your two-hour hike, then.
It is, and there is a beach also quite near, so you can combine all of it.
Our Travel with Rick Steves specialists on all things Greece are David Willett and Anastasia Gaitanou. Now, Anastasia, David just talked about Naxos, Rhodos, and Crete as three distinct mm-hmm. islands. They all sound interesting. What would you add to those islands? If you were going to Naxos, Rhodos, and Crete, how would you be sure to enjoy them?
Well, to be honest, I don't think of Crete as an island. It's too big for my taste. It's more like a... separated mainland.
Okay, so Crete is like too big for an island, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit too big. I think it's the fifth biggest of the Mediterranean, if I remember well. I would take Lesbos, definitely. It's
Lesbos,
an island, yes, of the northeastern Aegean Sea. I like that island very much because it's quite big, but you still have the feeling that you're on an island, that you're surrounded by the sea. And the northwest is completely different than the southeast of the island. The northwest is a volcanic landscape. You think that you're on the moon mm-hmm. sometimes. And there are, again, some fortresses and castles dating back to the 16th century by the Crusaders. Venetians as well have been there. And there are some beautiful long sandy beaches there. There are mountains. And then the northeast... Yeah, northeast and southeast is completely different. It's very green.
That's on the island of Lesbos you're talking about?
It's the same island, always the same island. And there are bigger and smaller coves there. It's really beautiful and combines everything. The city is quite modern, but there are beautiful old mansions.
And the city is named Lesbos also?
The city is named Mytilene.
Because in a lot of islands, the name of the town is the same as the island, isn't it?
Well, in this particular case, many times the name of the city will be used for the island itself because sometimes Lesbos has different connotation.
What is the connection? Because people think of lesbian and Lesbos. Is there a connection there?
Yes, there is a connection. Lesbian is actually primarily... the inhabitant of Lesbos. But it has to do with Sappho, who was a woman poet who lived in the 7th century BC. And we only have fragments of her poets, but in older days, the interpretation was not exactly correct, and people thought that she loved girls more than men.
So this poet
men.
From 2,700 years ago... Yeah. From the island of Lesbos, gave us the term for lesbian because we misinterpret her poetry to think that she loved women. Yeah. Interesting. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're exploring the Greek seas with David Willett and Anastasia Gaitanou. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Ronald's on the phone in Broadbrook, Connecticut. Ronald, thanks for your call.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate the work that you do with your books and your shows. We really enjoy them. We actually have been to Athens on a cruise, but we're getting to go actually spend a week on Paros. And we were thinking, gee, that's one of the islands we're going to leave, obviously fly into Athens, probably hit, obviously, Mykonos, Santorini. But we wanted to spend a week. We have a chance to spend a week in an apartment on Paros. So we were interested to try to get involved more with the culture, the food, and the history there. How would we best do that? First of all, I guess, is the island exciting? Is there things to do there? And how would we spend a full week on an island?
So this is Paros, P-A-R-O-S, and you certainly don't need to spend a full week because Paros, if I remember correctly, is kind of a transportation hub. There's plenty of ferries going in and out of Paros. David, what are some ideas for Paros?
The main town is attractive, but otherwise, for me, it's an access point to Naxos.
Yeah, I know. I remember it as a place where you change ferries and this sort of thing, and I was stuck there for a night, but if I had a free trip to Paros, I'd think I'd use it as a springboard to go somewhere else. Where would you go from Paros?
Well, over to Naxos. It's only 40 minutes away.
40 minutes to Naxos. David Willett, he wrote the book on Greece. That's his favorite island in all of Greece, I think.
But Paros itself, one of the big attractions there is windsurfing. But if you're not into windsurfing...
If you have the apartment in Paros and you're staying there anyhow, there are some things that you can do there as well.
And what would that be?
One day we'll definitely have to rent a car if you don't have one and do a round trip around the island. I would start with the south of the island. I would go to a little port called Aliki. There is a small museum there with models of lots of sightseeing attractions, etc. There's a real crazy guy who owns it, and he'll explain everything, and he's really great. And then there is the so-called area of the butterflies. Most probably you won't see any butterflies, but it's a nice landscape there. And then I would return and go to there where the ancient quarries used to be. That's a place called Marathi, which means fennel.
So lots to do on Paros.
There's a lot to
do. On any island, you can get out and explore the far reaches of the island, far away from the main transportation hub.
Yeah,
and then,
you can do
and
that.
You don't need famous sites. You're finding quintessential Greece, really. A little humble town with just enough commerce to get you a nice salad and some fresh seafood and play a little backgammon and enjoy the beach.
Go to the village in the mountains.
It sounds
like
wonderful,
that.
Doesn't it, Ronald? Thanks for your call, Ronald. Good luck.
Harry and Mark.
Thanks so much.
Δεν μπορώ να ακούω να μου λένε οι άλλοι πως έχω για σένα αγνία μεγάλη αν θα κάνεις κάτι.
There's more with Anastasia and David and your calls to 877-333-7425 as we set course in a minute for more of the Greek Isles. We'll also take five for a look at the coffee cultures in Europe and examine how European press and broadcasters operate differently from their American counterparts. It's Travel with Rick Steves.